next 15 to 20 minutes, I want to preach on the subject, give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Many times, they ask us to give our life to Christ on the altar. And the question is, what does it mean? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake or give his life for me, to me, the same shall save it. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Many times we say things that we don't understand. We look at somebody and we say, have you given your life to Christ? Oh, yes, I gave my life to Christ. When did you give your life to Christ? 5th October 2001, and so on and so forth. But we look at the person and we are beginning to wonder, did you really give your life to Christ? And like I said the last time, there are many people who actually answer the altar call to give themselves to God. But after the altar call, they retrieved themselves back from the hand of God. What does it mean to give your life to God, to Christ? Two basic things. Then I'll look at various departments. First, it means relinquish the control of your life to Him. You relinquish the control of your life to Him. It means you hand over the control of your life to Him. Secondly, it means He has the final say over your life. He has the final say regarding your life. Thirdly, it means you cease to live for yourself. You have begun to live for Him. You cease to live for yourself. Like Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. I am crucified with Christ. All right, Philippians 1, 21 first. He said, for to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. That is, if it is not for Christ, there is no need to live. You have ceased living for yourself. You have begun to live for Him. Also like Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What does it mean to give your life to Christ? Number four, it means that Christ can be seen in you. It means that Christ, put it another way, it means that you have the brand marks of Christ on your life. The brand marks. It means you have allowed Christ to brand you for himself. How many of you know that when you see a product from China, you can see made in China on the body of the product? When you see a product from Japan, you see made in Japan on the body of the product. When you see a product from Nigeria, you see made in Nigeria. In those days, in the days of slavery, the owner of the slave has his mark on the body of the slave. Am I communicating? So that anywhere you see this slave, you know whose slave master owns this slave. That was what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 verse 17. He said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Let no man bother me. You cannot look at me and mistake me for the child of the devil. I have been branded by Christ. You see, there are so many people who claim to belong to God, but who have Satan's brands on their body. Take your seat. From what I have said so far, have you given your life to Christ? Branded by Christ. Finally. Go by it again. Go by it again. From the first one. It means to relinquish the control of your life to him. It means he has the final say over your life. It means you cease to live for yourself. You have begun to live for him. It means you have the brand marks of Christ on your life. And finally, it means he has the title deed of your life. Meaning he has the full ownership. You see, the way somebody has a certificate of occupancy over a land, he has the title deed, a bracket, full ownership of your life. There is not a part of you that is owned by you. He owns you all. After all, he said in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 21, these people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. What are the things that make you that Christ must have? Number one, your time. What you do with your time, he has to determine. You don't own your time. What you do with your time has to be to his glory. Eating with your time is not a sin. Resting with your time is not a sin. Studying with your time is not a sin. Evangelizing with your time is perfect. But what else would you do with your time that you think will contradict the fact that he owns your life? You will not use your time to serve his enemy. You will not use the time he has given you to hurt him, to give him pain with the things you do. What makes you? Number two, your relationships. If you have given giving your life to Christ, he would have to have the final say in the matters of your relationships. There are people that can never be called friend. You may know them. There are people you will never be able to sit to discuss things, certain things. Your relationships. That was why he said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Number three, your appearance. Paul said, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Your appearance. You cannot give your life to him and dress like the world. You cannot say Christ owns your life and your look cannot preach the gospel. Your look should be able to preach. Your look should preach. Your outlook should preach. Your words should match your look. Coming to church this morning, I saw someone wearing something that looked like socks, stockings, and all the way up. That is, everything about the body is out. And the stockings is the same color with the skin. So it appeared like the person was walking naked. At the junction right there, I wound down the glass. I said, is this church you are going to? I don't think so. And the person walked all the way to church. And I told the people out there, I said, maybe he's a sinner that doesn't know what it means to look correct. But address the person right there. And if it's an old person, let the person go back home and not advertise evil on behalf of God. Take your seat. Listen to this story. I was at the birthday celebration of our mother in the Lord, Mommy Oyedepo, 60th birthday yesterday. And God has kept her alive. A woman met me and my wife, the wife of a pastor. I had met her before. When we went to preach in a town, she came. And she said, I am the wife of so-and-so pastor. And I looked at her. No earring, nothing. Everything bland. So I looked at her and said, are you Deeper Life? She said, no. I called her. She said, no. That she's the wife of so-and-so pastor. And in that church, it's a church where people are free to look any way. So I couldn't correlate. Then yesterday she gave us the explanation. She said one day she was watching Dunamis television and I was talking and I said, I think she had an encounter before that day. I said, what has taken the place of God in your life? See, all of a sudden it was as if an arrow was shot at her. The place of God? You say, oh yes, it is fashion. It is vanity that took the place of God. Then he explained yesterday. I think she had an encounter before that television. What was the encounter? She dreamt a dream. She was lying on the bed.
And then Dunamis TV was on in their bedroom. And then she got electric shock.
She got electric shock from the television.
So she asked the husband, I said, who carelessly connected naked wire to the bed? Something is shocking me. Then the husband said, there's no naked wire. And then she looked up, and on the TV screen, you were shouting, fire, yeah, 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 yeah. At that point, it was vibrating as electric shocks. And so then, she had had that encounter. And then another day, she was now watching
the TV.
She
was now watching. I said, what has taken the place of God in your life? And instantly, her spirit answered her. Fashion. Vanity. Then she said, she can travel to Dubai any day to buy the latest. She said, when it came to somebody adding something to her hair,
You say her own reached below the waist. All manner. She said, she can, pastor's wife, that she will go late to church because of dressing in front of mirror. He said she will miss midweek service. Maybe go when it's about time for service to end. Because of how much 3-4 hours she spent in front of the mirror. And that if you talk of gold, relax. And the question came, what has taken the place of no prayer life? No study of the word? By Thursday, she is preparing for Sunday dressing. Calculating how to look. The arrangement. The fishy. The things. And the voice came, what has taken the place of God in your life? And she answered herself. And when she answered herself, he said, gold, vanity, you want to take me to hell? I disconnect from you. Phew, out. 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 Next time, all the people who used to know her saw her, said, what? What happened to you? Did you see a vision of hell? Did you see heaven and hell? Is there a heaven and hell encounter? Did all these people that talk of heaven and hell, did you meet any of them? He said, no. I was just watching. And I heard only one question. What has taken the place of God in your life? Nobody mentioned jewelry. Nobody mentioned. And he said, he heard the question, is it fashion? See, it is not possible for anybody to say you have given yourself to God and you don't consult him on what you do with your life. It's fake. It's not real. I can't be married to my wife, for example, and she tells me you cannot dictate to me how to live. It's better you were single. No. What constitutes your life? Number one, what's your time? Number two, what's your relationship? Number three, your appearance. Number four, your transactions. What kind of business can you do? Can you involve Jesus in your business discussions? I was talking with somebody the other day. He said they were talking about a certain thing. They were going in for a business transaction. Or, you know, they were going in for a deliberation on something that was to lead to something. And all the people are churchgoers and Christians. And he said, as they were about to enter, two or three of them said, we are going in now. What we are going to do, we have to leave Christ outside. He said, Christ cannot be involved in this one. He said, there is a way we do it. You can't involve Christ in this one. This brother met me last week. He said, what? I am going inside with Christ. Haven't you seen people in some transactions where they say church apart? This is business. Church apart. Forget church. Christianity apart. See, even God himself will be happy if we pay him the tithe. Who told you that? Every tithe you pay from crooked money is a curse on your head. Every offering you give from stolen money, money of questionable sources, multiplies your abomination. Money from prostitution is an abomination. Bribery money is an abomination. It's in the offering basket. Abomination. I don't know whether there is any church that will collect money from your hand.
because you and they know you stole it, and you got it out of bribe, and you killed somebody, and you cheated somebody, and you pushed away your business partner and defrauded him, but this one will not collect it. I'm saying it with audacity. It's a curse. You worsen your abomination. The man said, they told him, leave Christ outside. Anywhere that Christ cannot go with me, I don't want to go. Anything Jesus cannot do with me, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Any money that I have to get minus Christ, let that money go to hell. Is God speaking to somebody here? That was your time, your relationship, your appearance, your transactions. Number five, your energy. You shall serve the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength, your energy. I think that will be Mark chapter 12 from verse 24 thereabout. You shall serve the Lord. This is the first of all commandment, O Israel. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, your energy. Question I want to ask at this point is, who is he that has the best of your energy? Who is that? We don't say God just like that, because not there are many people, it is not God who has their energy. And someone may be asking me now, do you mean I shouldn't walk again? I should just give my energy and my everything to church? That's not what it means. It means even in your workplace, you deploy energy there to glorify your maker. You do everything with the mentality that I am serving God to bring him glory. Even as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a civil servant, you gave the best to that task in the mentality that I want people to see Christ through my service here. I want somebody to be saved by the excellence I display here. And of course, the energy continues to flow into evangelism, into soul winning, into service in the house of God. And at the end of your journey, everybody is convinced that you gave your life to God. And one of my greatest excitement is, right from my university days, God knew that I gave him my life. I studied medicine as if I was a full-time preacher of the gospel. And that was what I told God. I preached maximally. Inside our school buses, we used to transport from the hostel to the classroom area in university buses. I preached inside those school buses. I preached in front of hostels in the mornings. I did morning cries. And I excelled in the class to a point where I had not one receipt till I graduated. I don't want to go into those details now. But God knew. The question is, have you given your life to Christ? When many people spend the whole of their youth pursuing money, the whole of their energy pursuing position, the whole of their strength pursuing human connections, and at the end of the day, they have nothing left to give God. And God is saying, who do you think I am that you want to give me the leftover of your life? The leftover. How many of you would like to eat leftover food? You want to give me the leftover of your life? After you are busied yourself doing everything you wanted to do with your life, and at the end it couldn't satisfy you. The Bible said it is good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. It's not a waste to serve God when you are young. It's not a waste of life. Your energy, number six, is your ability. That is what you can do. Your potentials. Can you sing? Can you dance? Can you teach? Can you pray? What can you do? How much of your ability have you given to God? What you know to do with life, have you transposed it into doing it for God?
How much of your wisdom have you used for to advance the kingdom? How much of your talent, your potentials, your capacity, your capability? People like Bezalel, the son of Uri in the Old Testament, and people like those kind of people, they use their expertise, they use their craftsmanship in the house of God to advance the cause of the kingdom. What can you do? What have you done for God? You say, present your bodies a living sacrifice, your members, your life. And if you are here, and your wisdom, your training, your expertise, your potential, your ability has not been used to bring glory to God yet, it is not too late. And finally, your resources, your money. Your money. A man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things he has. I laugh a lot when people say, God wants me to give him my money. My money. One of the richest men in the world that changed the face of the computer world, information technology, was called Steve Jobs. Apple. Apple is almost ruling now in the whole of the computer world. He died very young at age of 56. Of pancreatic cancer. Can I ask a question? How many iPhones were buried with him? What of iPod and iPads and Mac computers? What about the billions? He was he's one of the world's notable billionaires. How many billion entered the grave? Fading away like the stars of the morning. Losing their light in the glorious sun. Thus would we pass from the earth and his toiling. Only remember. Somebody is saying, God wants me to give him my money. How is it your money? How much of it did you bring when you came to the world? And how much of it will you carry when you are living? Take your seat. Hear me. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's. And how many things? Everything inside. Psalm 24 verse 1. He said the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Haggai chapter 2 from verse 7, 8, 9. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. Say it like this. The dollar is mine, the naira is mine. The pound is mine. The euro is mine. In all the banks in the world. So, after you have paid your tithe and you are jubilating, what you have done is that you gave God 10% of his money and kept back 90%. It's nothing to jubilate about. God is looking for, it's not, the question now is not, how much of my money am I giving to God? The question is, how much of God's money am I keeping back? And somebody's asking me, so should I use all the money that God gives me and put them all in church and give them all as offering and tithe? Not necessarily. You have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of your wife and children. You have to take care of your parents. And then push the gospel forward in soul winning evangelistic outreach, the type you just saw, TV evangelism and so on. And then look after the poor and the orphans. And then impact your world with resources. Wipe out unemployment. Establish factories and industries that can employ 20,000 people, and you are giving food to thousands on their table as part of your service to your creator in helping his creation. Am I communicating? You let God dictate and direct how to direct the resources. You let him dictate it. You let him direct it. And he makes you a neat billionaire with thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, feeding from your hand. And the gospel running with the mind that one day you will appear before God and give an account of every dime he gave to you. Have you given your life to Christ? Don't be in a hurry to answer. Analyze all the points that have been mentioned. And where adjustments are necessary, you make the adjustment. How many of you know that when you stand before the mirror, the best place to adjust your hair and adjust everything is right in front of that mirror? You don't say, okay, I have seen that there is something is here. On my way, I will remove it. No, you do it right there. The Bible says the word of God is a mirror. He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty is like a man that beholded his face in a mirror. So you make the adjustment in front of the word, not away from the word. So you sit around that word of God and say, Lord, I have heard these 7 points that involved my life and that can determine how whether I have given myself to you. Point number one, have I given my time? Point number two, have I given my relationships? Point number three, what of my appearance? And so on and so forth. It is well with us. And at the end of our journey, my prayer is none of us shall miss it. Stand up on your feet. Look at someone around you. Tell them, give your life to Christ. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Overshot our time maximally today. Lift your hands higher. If you give me only 10 minutes, let me say 7 minutes, we shall be true. So please, don't walk out yet. Even if you are outside, lift up your hands. Dr. Miss Anencha, you'll come forward.
Fading away like the stars of the morning, losing their light in the glorious sun. Thus would we pass from the earth and its toiling. Only remember by what we have done.
Only remember.
Only remember.
Only remember.
Lift up your hands now and begin to speak to God, talk to Him, honor Him, adore Him, worship Him.
take your seat from the presence.
Wherever you are, we're still waiting for you. I believe that after a message such as this, you would have reevaluated your life. So to say, have you given your life to Christ, is not just that you come to church. It's not even that you belong to a department where you work. It's beyond that. Is your life totally surrendered to Christ? Is Jesus the center of your life? Is he the reason for your decisions? If the trumpet sounds now, will you be able to stand boldly and say, Father, I qualify to hear the sound of the trumpet and to be caught up together with you? Anywhere you are, as we're about to pray for these people, I'd like you to pick your bags, pick your Bible, rush forward here. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Let today be the day that you made it right with God. You finally made it right with God. There's no more one leg in and one leg out. Quickly, wherever you are, in the overflows, in the galleries, right here in the auditorium, pick your bags, pick your Bibles, and step forward here.
All right, do so. We'll give you the count of seven. Pastor, I'm still battling with smoking. I'm still battling with drinking, battling with pornography, battling with immorality, with prostitution. I am one leg in, one leg out. I don't look like Christ in any way. Nobody can see me and say, that is a Christian. I want to be genuine. I want to hand over myself completely to God. Jump up on your feet and don't be the last to come out. Don't wait for who will go out first, then you go out later. Be serious with God. Don't let God think you are not serious. And don't let God think that you are a hypocrite trying to follow others to go out. Even if you are the only person coming out, come out. I give you that count of seven. One. Quickly rush.
Take me, Lord, and use me, Lord, as an instrument of
two.
Let me be acceptable.
Let me be pleasing.
Let me be
three.
To you. There's one reason I'm alive.
And that's the glory.
And that is to live for you.
Two.
Nothing else is worth the while.
Three.
Nothing else is
worth. Take me, Lord, and use me, Lord, again.
Take me, Lord, and use me, Lord, as an instrument of love.
Let me be
acceptable.
Let me be pleasing to you.
Let me be pleasing to you.
That's one reason I'm alive.
That's one reason I'm alive. And that is
true.
To live for you. Nothing else is worth the while.
Nothing else is valuable.
Nothing else
four.
Is valuable.
Lord, I want,
Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to see
four.
Your face.
Five.
Lord, I want to
six.
See your will.
And seven.
Lord, I want to live for you.
Oh,
I have just one life to live. And it must glorify you. I am yours, Lord, in time and for all eternity.
Lord, I want,
Lord, I want to love you more.
Lord, I want to see
your face. Lord, I want to see your face.
Oh,
Lord, I want to do your will.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, I want to live for you.
And for all,
and for all eternity.
If you want to rededicate yourself to God, you have come out like this before, but you are not living right, you are not living in order, we'll take the second verse of that song and you come out and join us right now. You say, Pastor, I came out like this before, but I'm not living right. I want to live right. Carry your Bibles and your bags, and I'll give you the count of seven. One. God bless you. Two. Help me now. Help me, Lord.
Help me not to waste my life.
Two.
On those things that matter not. Let me live within your
three.
And your purpose for me, Lord.
All I have is just to you.
All I have is just to you. Where you send me, I will go.
Three.
No longer I believe.
For to me to live is Christ.
For to me to
one more time. Help me not to waste my life.
Help me not to waste my life on those things that matter not. Let me live within your plan.
And your purpose for me, Lord.
And your purpose for me, Lord.
All I have is yours to you.
All I have is yours to you.
Where you send me, I will go.
Where you send me, I will go.
It's no longer I. Five and six.
For to me to live is
Lord, I want, Lord, I want
to know you more. Oh, Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to live for you. I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you.
I have just one life to live.
And it must glorify you. I am yours, O Lord, in time. And for all eternity.
Those of you in the front, place your right hand on your chest, lift the other hand up. After this prayer, we shall be taking the offering. After the offering, we shall be praying a closing prayer in agreement for what God has done today. So just be patient a little bit. We are on a 3-day monthly fast, divine empowerment fast. Yesterday was day one. Today is day two. 5:30 p.m. we are here. And then we have a church workforce and Dunamis Home Church Congress meeting all together after the fast by 7 p.m. And so please be reminded of that. And the Lord bless you. The fast ends tomorrow. And tomorrow is also the preservation service and the communion of escape for the month of February. You will come with your communion things and with bottles of oil as we make demands on preservation for February. God bless you in Jesus' name. Now, place your right hand on your chest and then receive the prayers.
Pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I need your help. Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Wash away my sins. Lord, I admit that without you, I can do nothing. I surrender my all to you. I surrender my life. I surrender my will. I surrender my ways. Take charge today. Help me, Lord, to live a life that pleases you. Thank you because I'm now born again. In Jesus' name. So I come pray for them.
Father, we pray for these people. We ask that the hold of sin be broken off their lives. And today, mark a new day for every one of you in Jesus' name. I live for Jesus day after day. Counselors, please help me go with them. The rest of us, stretch your two hands in front of you as you receive the blessing.
I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. Let's come with me. The Holy Spirit, I'll obey.
I live for Jesus, I live for Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Day after day.
I live for Jesus, let's come with me. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus, day after day. I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus, I live for Jesus, day after day. I live for Jesus, let's go with me.
The Holy Spirit,
I live
for Jesus.
Jesus, I live for Jesus. Day after day, I live for Jesus. Let go of me.
For your blessing upon these hands in the name of Jesus. As I